Okay. Brother Frank, how about leading us in prayer this morning, please, sir?
Father, what a privilege it is to be able to at any time to address your throne of grace and to come to you and to offer up our thanksgiving, our praise to you for being our Father, realizing, Father, that we were dead and you made us alive in Christ Jesus. Father, that we were without hope and you gave us hope. Father, what a privilege it is that you've invited us into this participation of your kingdom and being, Father, your hands and your feet and your voice. And we pray for every one of these men this morning, Father, that we will understand that you have charged us to be light and salt in this world. And Father, thank you for that. We know, Father, we can only do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the gathering of these men. And we do at this time lift up Dr. Hennigy and thank you, Father, for the way that you have called him and the way that he has used his gift for so many years in proclaiming Jesus. And we pray even this weekend that you will continue to use him, Father, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We do pray for Tom and Faye Riley, and we know, Father, that responsibility of a caregiver, and Father, for our, just the strength, and Father, for the whatever is needed there, Father, we ask a very special measure of your grace to be upon them this day. Father, for Bart's family, his wife Atha, and all of those, thank you for the powerful way in which Art had a powerful influence on so many of us. And Father, we pray for Norm as he travels. We pray for Kay Burns. We pray, Father, in this group, there are many in our families that we're concerned about. We lift them all up to you. And now we pray that this time will be spent opening your word, that your word might strengthen us, it might encourage us, that it might purify us. And Father, that we might leave here today more deeply in love with you through Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I got to go back to my little brain teaser again to remind you. We agree to disagree agreeably on seemingly non-negotiable matters in theology and thoughts. Okay. I don't want to bother Dr. Henneke's movement through Romans. We've done great. We've got to chapter 8. He'll hear that and catch on to it, but I don't want to bother that all that much. But I have a few things that I'd like to talk about Romans some. Stuff you probably don't care anything about. Probably won't care anything about it when you leave. But some things that I got to thinking about as I was writing through these kinds of things. There are some things in Romans that are not in Romans. Sometimes it's mentioned. Other books, it gives quite a bit of reference to it. But I went through a few things. Now, one of those fancy words is eschatology. The end time, the last days. Paul's not going to talk about that in Romans. He doesn't give a lot of attention to it. If I recall correctly, the term heaven is eschatological. That's out there a ways. I think it appears only twice in the book of Romans. Eternal life. He'll introduce a little bit about eternal life, but he's not going to spend much time on it. We do, but he doesn't very much. He'll speak about life now. Where are you right now? He's going to talk about a promised life yet to come, but he's not going to describe it at all. He's not going to get caught up in streets of gold and walls of jasper. That just doesn't come up in Romans. You're not going to find hell or Hades or Guyana, or you're not going to find the devil in Romans. He's going to mention Satan one time. But I mean, he'll talk about how God can take care of Satan. I don't find anything about the cross. I know we make a lot to do about the cross. In Romans, Paul's not going to talk much about the cross. He's going to talk about Jesus' death some, but he'll talk about, he'll give quite a bit of treatment about the fact that Christ died for us, gave himself up for us, those kind of things. But you would think he would say something about the cross. Because we make quite a deal out of the cross. I went to church the other night, and they decided I needed a cross on my head. Ash Wednesday, yes, sir. Put your cross up there, sir. The cross is significant. But Paul sees the man on the cross as significant. That's what it's all about. The cross is nothing without him on it. There were thousands of people crucified, but this one was different. And Paul's going to talk more about that difference and who was there than he is about the cross. Strange enough, he's not going to talk much about the resurrection. And that's, to me, that's one of the really important things in Scripture, is the resurrection. I think that's God's seal of approval, that and the ascension. Isn't it interesting that the guys will spend more time talking about things that they did not see than the things they did see? They saw the ascension. There's about 20 words said about the ascension. They didn't see the resurrection. It's amazing. Paul will spend a lot of time talking about the resurrection. He gives it very little treatment. And he's more interested in the person of Christ. I think that's Dr. Henneke's caught up that way. Dr. Henneke's caught up with Christ is the answer. If I remember correctly, the word church appears maybe once in Romans. He's not trying to get you to join his church. He's trying to get you to join the gospel. Be a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, he's not going to talk much about current events. He's not going to talk about where he is and what he is doing so much in Romans. But remember, Romans is not a history book. Remember, the Bible is not a history book. It's only a theological history book. And that's what it's dealing with. It's dealing with God. And the book of Romans, in spite of all the things that you may or may not find there, is probably second, or maybe even equal to, Hebrews as far as a theological treatise. You can find about anything you want theologically in Romans. I've been amazed over the years of how many different people I have read from, and all of them have different opinions and all think that they're quoting Paul accurately and concluding from him their faults and saying, well, Paul said this. if you've ever read any of the great works of John Calvin, John Calvin loved the book of Romans. Finds a lot of his basis in the book of Romans. Zwingli found a lot in the book of Romans. Luther, Melanchthon, you name them. They just love the book of Romans. They find so much in it. You may have some things that you'd like to say about what's in Romans. We are from different denominations and such. Would you believe our leaders found a lot of their theological basis in Romans? It's amazing. My problem with that has been that we have taken it to such an extreme that we are right and they're wrong, which was never taught by Paul, which never came out of the book of Romans. That was our own making. I'd have to admit to you, I've told you before, I grew up kind of a country boy, and I had to question some of these things. It would bother me when I would hear people talk about, well, those Baptists, the reason they can grow is because they don't have any standards. They just get anybody to come in and they can do anything they want to do, except you can't take communion with them if you aren't one of them. Of course, I think the Church of Christ has a few places like that.
No.
My sister-in-law was Church of Christ, and when I would go out with her out in Texas, I'd go to church with her, and she'd get upset with them because they didn't want to serve me communion because I wasn't part of the fellowship. And she said, "He's a minister." That didn't matter.
We got over that.
Some people did.
Now we just don't allow you to have.
Yeah, some Baptist church. My dad had moved out in the country there in Florida, and decided, well, they would go to the Baptist church, and the second Sunday they would have communion. They wouldn't serve him communion. He never went back. It's amazing how we get these things, and it all comes out of Romans. Lord, I mean, so we can base so much of it on Romans. Well. Let me give you a few ideas of themes that I have picked up in Romans. That's quite interesting. There's one about anthropology. Paul wants to talk about the nature of man. We sometimes think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We are a created being. And we're not going to be here very long at its longest. And Paul is going to talk about that the nature of man is fallen and needs redemption. He's going to talk about soteriology, if you want that theological term for sin. Paul spends quite a bit of time in Romans letting us know about sin. My conclusion out of all that he said was, it's disobedience. Get that from Paul? It's not drinking and chewing and going with girls that's doing and these. We go into all kinds of details about what they are. Paul in Romans is going to let us know that anything that you do that separates you from God is sin. That's tough. And he lets us know, you know when you're doing it. That's good. That'll preach. He'll spend a lot of time talking about redemption. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And he wants us to be redeemed too. And redemption for Paul is not something you can do yourself. And it's not something that the organized religious affiliation can do for you. Only God through Christ can redeem you. Now, I'm going to use another term here that's going to bounce off if I'm not careful. Can we agree, though, that God is a holy God? And I think I read in there a few places where it says, be ye, whoever ye is, be holy because I'm holy. And so the term that is so familiar to us that we bounce around at times is holiness. The holiness movements, several of them, find a great deal of their basis in the book of Romans. Because he's going to talk about holiness. He's going to talk about the term sanctification. And we get these terms. You know, that's one of the problems, I think, with systematic theology. It gets you so wound up in terminologies and so forth that you forget to live it. You spend more time talking about what it means and how the words are. But Paul's message to us is, let's live it. Let's put it into action. We spend so much time debating about what it means and who said what it means that we forget that we just need to get out there and live it. In case I happen to forget to get to this before I get to it, I'm going to tell you now. Holiness for me is me under the power of the Holy Spirit living out what God has put in me. That's holiness. It's not of myself. Not something I can do on my own. It's something that God, through His Holy Spirit, will work through me. And I think it happens sometimes when we don't even know it. I've said this before, that I think a lot of people live far beyond their theology. Theology just gets in the way. They just live it out. Yes, sir.
I know that you know about the Azusa Street Revival that took place years back in the early 1900s. It lasted for 5 years. And the only reason that it stopped after 5 years was that they all sat down and started talking about theology.
Yeah, what it meant.
Up to that point, the Holy Spirit was on services day after day after day after day for 5 solid years. Never stopped until the people themselves sat down and started to discuss what is the right theology. And as soon as they did, the Holy Spirit was gone.
Yeah. I brought this up one time at a group I was with, where the Scripture will tell you, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, my group didn't want to get in on sanctification, so they started to decide, what is truth? That can derail you in a hurry. Well, also in the book of Romans, Paul is going to deal with the wrath and the righteousness of God. Do you have a problem with the kind of using these two terms together, righteousness and holiness? If you get into a systematic theology class, they're going to divide it up and they're going to separate it up and they're going to make all these, they're going to say to you, well, now you have to think about the character of God, and you got to think about the attributes of God, and we go through it, but we miss the fact that holiness and righteousness are twins. They may be two sides of the same coin. They may be the same thing, just said differently. I think it'd be pretty hard to be sanctified and not be righteous. I think it'd be pretty hard to be righteous and not be sanctified. I think it's very difficult for us to deal with these things because we have this nature about us that we don't want to talk about being holy. Paul didn't have a problem with that in Romans. The Bible didn't have a problem with that. We would have a problem, I think, well, you don't, I know a lot of people that do, have a problem with being sons of God. The Hebrews don't have a problem with that. But we Christian people forget that we have been adopted. Paul will talk about adoption. He'll talk about us becoming the children of God, not by the law, but by the Spirit. Well, Paul's going to talk about the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's where I got into problems. That's what I thought I should be really looking at in the Scripture. What is it that Jesus wants of me? What is it that I can be, not of my own merit, but by the power of the Holy Spirit? And I have to admit to you, the older I get, the more concerned I am about that. What can I be through the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul says you can be evangelists. Paul says you can be witnesses. And Paul's saying it doesn't make it true, but when he quotes Jesus and says Jesus, that's a different story. And so we are called by God to open our hearts and let His Holy Spirit fill us to capacity. Now, if I had my preaching mode going on, I'd have to say to you, but you can't be filled unless you do some emptying. And Paul will talk about this. Empty yourself. How do you empty yourself? Well, small analogy they talk about, and they'll talk about it as marriage. You didn't realize when you first got married how many changes were going to take place. Well, she had to make some changes too. Not many. Book of Romans also is going to book that's going to deal with Christian ethics. I'm going to have to tell you that that's been one of my hang-ups over the years, I think, is how Christians live out Christian lifestyles. How questionable some things become. Even people I really like, I question sometimes the motive behind what they're doing. I don't say anything about it because it's not my business. But we ought not be doing anything that's going to bring harm to somebody else. Especially harm in the way of the gospel. I think I've told you this before. I was asked to speak at a church for a few weeks, which I did. Until a friend of mine from over at Lipscomb came to that service and he wanted to know what was I doing there. And he asked the people, what is he doing here? And they told him, he said, well, do you know he is a professor over at Trevecca Nazarene College? That ended that relationship. I wasn't invited back another Sunday.
We got over that too.
I don't think he did.
Some of us did.
Some of us did.
Some of us are on the river in Egypt. Denial.
But you know, the way we respond to other people, how our ethics comes out, is important. We're in a healing ministry, not a division ministry. People ought not be saying bad things about us. Now they will. They'll turn good into bad. But we can't turn around and act the same way toward them. We just need to let Christ live through us. Well, Paul is going to talk about salvation in Romans. There again, have you been in some of those great discussions about what does it mean to be saved? Are you saved now, or is it going to be a later thing? Is it going to be in eternity? When are you really saved? I believe I'm saved when Jesus Christ pray to the Father to forgive me of my sins. What am I going to be saved from? I'm going to be saved from death and eternity. You start talking about these kinds of things. What do you mean by eternity? What do you mean by death? Well, I just know this. Jesus Christ is God-man. And He came, walked among us, taught us. Mankind fell in the garden. One man died on the cross. And in Him is life. That's salvation. Starts now, it's going to go right on. Are you saved right now? Praise the Lord. Been redeemed. Or you can have a lot of discussions over being saved. Yes, sir.
The last verse of Arise, My Soul, Arise always comes to my mind on that. My God is reconciled. Pardoning voice I hear.
Yeah.
You hold me as His child. I shall no longer fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was born on Calvary.
One of the great things in Romans that Paul's going to talk about, he's going to talk about the Christian lifestyle and the Christian life. He's not afraid to say to us, you ought to be somewhat like me. Of course, Paul could say that. I pray oftentimes to the Father, let me live so that You will be seen in me. Even when I'm not talking, I want You to be seen in me. I want people to know that I'm a Christian without me wearing a banner right across here. I used to say to my congregation, do you bring your Bibles to church? If you don't, do you know where it is? When's the last time you read it? A simple thing like carrying a Bible at certain times and certain places can be a great light. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, what is that? And I tell them, well, it's a Bible. Why are you carrying the Bible with you? Well, because I'm going to do some studying a little later on. Really? This is just Tuesday. Is that amazing? The other day I had the opportunity to go down to Alabama. I'd gone down and to Decatur, and I have this young friend of mine. I say young, he's in his 70s. That's still young, though. he's the fellow I tell you about. There was a chaplain in the Air Force, and has had so many strokes now that he's now, they put him up in a wheelchair once in a while, but for the most time he's bedridden right now. And I said to you before, I don't know how much he knows, but every time I get him by the hand and say to him, Paul, Tobin Pat's here, he'll just squeeze my hand real tight. Tries to say some things, but he can't talk much. Little black girl that was had taken us into the room. When we started out, she said, you people must be Christians. Why would you think that? She said, because the way you prayed with that man. Isn't it amazing? The world around us sees things differently than what we think they're seeing. And I said to her, I am what I am only by the grace of God. This man deserves somebody to love him and care for him and let him know that God still loves him. Because I don't know how much he hears, but he needs to hear. God's still in control of this thing. Even when it don't look like it, he's still in control. Well, Paul is also going to talk a bit about Christian history in there, and he's going to go all the way back to the Hebrew people. You can almost hear Paul saying that some of the Hebrews were Christians and didn't know it, even before Christ came. Because he's going to put God and Christ as the same. He didn't see a difference in them. Christ Jesus. In fact, there are times when he would talk about Jesus and not talk about Christ, because he doesn't want you to get mixed up with Messiah. Because the Hebrew people, and he knew the Hebrew people, were looking for the wrong Messiah. And he wants God and Christ to be one. Folks, that's my theme. He is one. He's always been God. I marvel at how we can muster up enough belief to believe that he would involve himself in the human flesh and walk among us, and those people didn't even realize what he was. Feed 5,000, they didn't realize what he was. A couple of loaves and fish and bread, and feed 5,000 people and have buckets left over. Did startle when he walked out across the water. That shook him up a little bit. People around him, when he finds this maniac out there in the graveyard, everybody else scared to death of him, Jesus set him free. He knew what happened to him. People around him never saw Messiah in him, never saw the power of God at work in him. They were interested in the pigs. It's amazing. I have to admit to you, I look back at my life at times and I say, oh God, how did you get me through that? You know, I'm not bragging, I just want to tell you. You know, I'm a Korean veteran. A veteran of the Korean campaign. I have a little badge that I wear. Once in a great, great while. Well, I'm going to wear my hat. It's on my hat. It's got a wreath around it. Sometimes there's a star in that wreath. I missed that star by 15 minutes. That star would mean that you went through 5 major campaigns and survived. Now, a major campaign is 50 sustained hours of combat. I went through 4 of them. Another 15 minutes and I'd have went through the 5th one. I have to tell you, I look back and I say to the Lord sometimes, how did you get me through all of that? People ask me about nightmares and so forth when I came back from this. No, no. The only time I had problems was my brother and I were walking down the streets of Jacksonville, Florida one evening. And some guy in a hopped up Model T came through there. And he had evidently turned that ignition off and on because it started popping. Pow, pow, pow. And I got my brother down. We're down on the ground. Right up against the building. He said, what are you doing? I said, oh, God. You hear that? About two nights after I had come back, we were at church. And it was the 4th of July time. And we started walking out of the little building next to the church, walking out, and some guy threw a M50 firecracker out there. And I heard that thing sizzling, and I got me and my brother down in the mud. That thing went off and splattered mud all over the place. Mud all over me and him. But outside of those events, almost nearly never have they come back to haunt me. Why? Well, because the Lord said, I'll take care of you. I marvel at how He takes care of me. Book of Romans is telling you the whole time, if you let God be in control of your life, He'll see you through. May not be always the way you want it to be, but He'll see you through. So I want to challenge you while we're going through the book of Romans. Look for the holiness of God. Look for the power of His Holy Spirit and what He will do with you and through you and by you and for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, our Father, send us out of here bound up in Your Word, to allow You to live through us so the world will see Christ, see Your love and Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness and Your redemption and what it can do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen.